Monday! Open wide dev fans! Get ready to stuff your face with JavaScript, CSS, node modules, barbecue tips, Git workflows, breakdancing, soft skills, web development, the hastiest, the craziest, the tastiest web development treats. Coming in hot, here is Wes, Barracuda, Boss, and Scott, El Toro Loco, Tolinsky.
Welcome to Syntax, and this Monday Hasty Treat, episode number 323. For those of you who are counting, we are going to be talking about the new Level Up tutorial site and some of the changes technologically that have gone on behind the scenes in the evolution of my site, my code base, and basically my baby, this thing that I have been nurturing for a very long time here, longer than my own children. This site has been something I've been nurturing. So we're going to talk all about what I've done here, the changes that I'm making, why I made these changes, and some of the new tech that it's running on, because this site's running on a lot of hot new tech. So my name is Scott Tolinsky. I'm a full stack developer from Denver, Colorado. And with me, as always, is the Wes Boss.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Wes. How's it going?
Oh, doing pretty good.
Good. Who's this episode sponsored by today?
FreshBooks at freshbooks.com/syntax. They are the small business accounting software that makes billing painless. So you're sending out billing, you're sending out reminders, you're tracking your expenses, you're doing time tracking, you logging an invoice that is a flight. That's an expense, but you need to convert it into an invoice for the client. You can do that on FreshBooks. It's really slick. Best way to keep track of your small business accounting. So check it out, freshbooks.com/syntax, and use syntax in the How Did You Hear About It section.
Sick. This episode is also sponsored by Sentry at sentry.io. Use the coupon code TASTYTREAT, all lowercase, all one word, and you will get 2 months for free of Sentry. Now, what is Sentry? Now, Sentry is the error and exception handling service that you will see both on leveluptutorials.com's API as well as the front end UI of the site. That's right. I've been using Sentry for a very long time, longer before they were sponsors. I've been using Sentry on Level Up Tutorials to track all of our errors and exceptions and understand when we actually have a problem. We also use it for critical performance metrics, and I tie the version of the site directly in to Sentry, and it's connected to our GitHub repo. So right then, when I have an error in the site, it pops into my errors, and what I can do is take a look at this. I can see if it's a legitimate anything that I need to pay attention with. We have our source maps right there. It tells me what version of the site this bug was introduced in, and I can create a GitHub issue and assign it to a member of our team directly from Sentry. This is an essential tool for me and really, honestly, one that we highly, highly rely on over here at Level Up Tutorials. So check it out, sentry.io, coupon code, TASTYTREAT, all lowercase, all one word, 2 months for free. Okay, so let's get into the new Level Up tutorial site. I would give a little bit of a background on the site. It was originally built in Drupal 7. I used Drupal 7 because at the time it was really easy to plug and play. Like every step of my career at that point had been really done in Drupal. So it was really easy for me to build it in Drupal 7. But you know what? At some point, I decided, you know, that I would love to take on a full-on JavaScript application, and it existed like this, you know, outside of the context in which it exists now for quite a bit of time. It was mostly just like a mirror of what's on YouTube. So I decided to rewrite the entire site using Meteor and Meteor's own front-end framework at the time, which is Blaze. And Blaze powered two sites. We had leveluptutorials.com and store.leveluptutorials.com, both of which shared the same database, shared the same accounts, and you logged into one, it logged you into both, but they were entirely two different code bases, which was kind of a dumb decision on my part, but is one that I struggled with a lot. Next, I rewrote the UI to use React because Blaze wasn't going anywhere. Then I rewrote the API to use Apollo, even though it was using Meteor as a build tool because, you know what, as much as I loved Meteor, I didn't want to be so locked in. Then I combined the store.leveluptutorials.com codebase with the normal site, allowing you to buy anything. Then I moved the whole thing to TypeScript. And there's been a lot of other minor refactors in there because you know me, I am crazy about refactoring and updating and whatever. And this is just the latest and most likely last step in a long time to this. So that brings us up to date to right now. The site that is live, maybe by the time you're listening to this, the previous version of the site, I'm going to call it the previous version, is currently built on Meteor with Apollo, and it uses MongoDB, and Meteor is primarily used as the build tool, but also the account system. And so I have decided to move off of Meteor. Sadly.
Whoa.
Yeah. I love Meteor.
Is that because it's dead?
It's not because it's dead, actually.
I'm just joking.
Yeah, I know you're joking. I'm not even going to entertain it. I'm just going to breeze right by that. But like, no, Meteor is fantastic. But like, at the end of the day, you know, the Meteor's positive points are the ability to get up and running quickly, really iterate really quickly, do real time really easily. All of those things, they just weren't anything that we are using. So at the end of the day, we are using Meteor primarily for the account system as well as the build tool.
Yeah.
And the build tool aspect of it was kind of getting to be just a bit of a pain that I couldn't do some of the things I wanted to do. Granted, there's a lot of really nice things about their build tool, and I don't want to say anything bad about it because I think it's fantastic. But at the end of the day, I just wanted a little bit more control is what it came down to. So what did I do? Well, the biggest change overall in the way we're compiling or doing anything on our site, besides the fact that we have removed Meteor, is that we have split the site into an API and a UI now. Rather, before it was all just sort of one project, because that's how Meteor likes to do it, right? Even though we had UI folders inside of our source or whatever, it was all just one project. Now it's two distinct different processes, two distinct projects running API, UI. Another big change is that we removed Babel entirely from our process. So we're not using Babel at all, except for, I believe, in the production builds using the Snowpack plugin Webpack. I think that uses Babel, but I don't think it does anything that I have to worry about. I never think about Babel.
Snowpack plugin Webpack Babel? Is that what you said?
It's not plugin Babel. It's plugin Webpack.
Oh.
So there's no Babel here. So Snowpack plugin Webpack is a plugin for what it does is it uses Webpack behind the scenes to build the site using your Snowpack configuration. Reason being is that Webpack has some things currently in their production builds that Snowpack does not. So as I don't have a Webpack config. I don't have any of that. For a nice little way out, they just provide you that plugin. You drop it in and then your builds are better. I don't know what's better about them. They're just better. And these are production builds. It's not development builds. So for the most part, Babel does not have any part in our site whatsoever.
Oh, I guess because the entire website's built in TypeScript, that still converts it to like a browser compliant JavaScript.
Correct. And we're using ESBuild for that. So ESBuild is a Go package to allow you to build for the web as well as for Node, JavaScript, TypeScript, whatever. And we've talked about this before. They have some crazy benchmarks, and those crazy benchmarks are all true. It's like that image from Star Wars of Han Solo saying, "It's all true." That's how I feel about these benchmarks on ESBuild. Let me tell you about our production builds. Our production builds take a second or less. That's our full production build. When in the past, it would have taken like a couple minutes or something. My gosh, it is crazy fast. So to get into some more details on the UI side of things, the UI has been separated into its own project. The actual component side of things, pretty much unchanged. It's still React, it's still styled components and SAS using SCSS. However, we've been moving more and more things to just straight up SCSS and CSS variables and seeing where we can reduce some of that styled components. Not because styled components aren't great, but I think we're overboard using them just a little bit. The development flow of everything is being done with Snowpack. We get 50 millisecond hot reloading. You don't even lose your React state, that hot React fast refresh. But more importantly, those 50 millisecond page reloads are insanely good. I cannot get over how much faster it is. No knock on Meteor, but part of the beef I had with Meteor and using it in the way that we were is that I would save things and then just wait 3 or 4 seconds. Okay, wait.
Oh, brutal, yeah.
It's brutal. And to go from that to 50 milliseconds has been an unreal experience. In fact, when we first made this branch, I said, guys, we got to get this thing done because I don't want to go back to the old development environment just because of how much better it was to work in. We get nice errors that pop up on the UI, like you'd see in Create React App. That comes via Snowpack. That's not something we had before because we would have had to do it ourselves. So the MegaFast development workflow has been crazy good. I wrote a custom GraphQL importer to import .graphql files for Snowpack. I will make that open source for anybody else to use it once it's in production, I guess. It's pretty easy, basically just able to pop in a loader and convert the GraphQL file whenever there was one and just send it along as JavaScript. Really pretty easy, very positive experience writing a plugin for Snowpack. I'm not a person who's ever written plugins for anything before, and I wrote this plugin with just about zero guff at all.
Are you doing any SSRs at all in the client?
All client side. I did a little bit of an SEO test. The SEO test to me showed that the CSR build was going to get the exact same Google bot.
What is CSR?
Client side rendering.
And how did you test that?
Oh, a handful of sites. I forget what it is offhand, but there's one specifically that Google says that this is the tester that will show you how the Google bot sees it. I'll see if I can find it and put it in the show notes. I'll have to look it up. But there's one specific one that will say, like, this is the tester that will get the accurate representation of what the Google bot sees. So I was able to see that there was not going to be any hit SEO-wise. But also Snowpack was, it's going under some change constantly, right? It's a new library. It's growing. And one of the things it just released was a new Node runtime, which I will be using to build a server-side rendering component to the site like we have currently. Right now, we do have server-side rendering with Meteor, but I wrote it all from scratch by hand. So it's not like Meteor is doing anything there for us. It's just like it made it easier to get it up and running. So that's something that we will be doing, but aren't doing, but I don't think it's going to give us a hit SEO. Performance-wise, the new site's quite a bit faster for several reasons, so I'm not quite worried about performance issues. API. The API is being done now in Node. Once again, it's just straight up Node. For those of you who aren't really up on Meteor, Meteor is really just Node. In fact, Meteor's routing system is built with Connect, which is, you know, what Express was built on top of Connect. So for the most part, like, our site is very, very Node-y, even though, you know, you hear Meteor and you think magic. Our site was just pretty much straight up Node. So it really wasn't that too much of a problem to convert it. But we used ES build again on the server side, and we get some just crazy fast builds. In fact, I'm not even doing like a development build and a production build. When I save the server, Wes, it's doing a production build in development every time. And that's one of these small optimizations that I'm going to make that's going to even speed up our development time that much more. But it's so fast right now and it takes up so little CPU. I don't care that I'm doing a full production build on every save. It just doesn't matter to me.
It's amazing. What about connecting to MongoDB? Like, doesn't that take like half a second, or is that not a slowdown for you, that initial connection?
It's not that much of an issue. I think that might be the slowest part, the network request.
That's true. Even like I'm thinking about my personal, like my site that I run everything on, and I have to kill the build and restart it every single time. And the MongoDB is not a, it is probably the slowest part, you're right, but it's not like a major slowdown either. It's less than half a second, I would say.
And Tom, our developer, he's been working on a thing to make it really easy to like constantly clone our staging database to like a local.
Yeah.
So that you could just run it local and then you're not going to have any connection at all there. I'm running a staging database, like a network staging database for mine, but he's running everything locally. So it's probably even faster for him. Our API is done in Mercurius, which if you have not heard of before, let this be your introduction to Mercurius. Mercurius is a GraphQL package for Fastify, which is a very fast Node server. So if you've never heard of Fastify and Mercurius, please, please, please check them out. Mercurius.dev. I have no association with this project or Fastify, but this thing is fast. Same exact API, same database calls, same everything as our Apollo server. And whoa, ho, ho, ho. I didn't do any benchmarks, but the quote unquote eye test is unbelievable for me just how much faster this thing is. And we are using maybe like 10% of the amount of built-in optimizations that Mercurius can do. For instance, they make it really easy to, one, do federation in GraphQL, easier than Apollo, I think. At least Apollo. I'm talking Apollo server when I say this. They make federation very easy, but the performance side of things, there's some really nice just-in-time compiler, GraphQL JIT. It includes integration into data loader automatically to like avoid 1+N calls. That's a common situation in GraphQL where it can lead to, let's say I query a playlist and then I say, hey, give me all of the tutorials in that playlist. And then I say, give me the tutorials, whatever. Those could end up being a billion database calls if you're not careful. And data loader is the way around that. But the data loader picture for Apollo is sort of like a sentence on their page. It says, use data loader to, like, there's not a good, clear implementation on how to do it, where this has it like baked in to make it really nice and easy for you. And there's also caching baked in too, which we're not using. So we're not using caching or data loader, and we're still getting these insane load times compared to what we were. So by adding those two things, this API has a lot of potential to get much faster, which I'm very excited about. I also wrote a GraphQL plugin for ES build. I actually don't know which one. I think I might have done the ES build one first. Once I did one of them, it was the exact same thing. Just learn how to do one for the other. So I'll also open source that. I have a GraphQL plugins for both of those, and that's just to load a .graphql file. Now, another thing that we're doing is we're highly relying on code generation for this site. So we have our GraphQL schema. We're running GraphQL code gen, and that spits out every type for everything, all of the resolvers, all of the mutations. So everything's fully typed, but it also spits out every single React hook that we need. So it looks for .graphql files, and if there's a .graphql file, it takes that and turns it into a React hook. For instance, like use checkout. All I have to have is a checkout mutation, and then I run code gen, and then I get a use checkout mutation hook. Automatic. Import it. Bingo, bango. And it's fully typed. So you don't have to worry about types or anything. It's all amazing. I use this thing like crazy. Next up is hosting. We hosted it on render.com. Those of you who have watched Level Up tutorials know I had a Scott Tries Render video that came out a little while ago that I did not say very nice things about Render because it was like a little bit broken when I tried it. I had enough people suggesting me to give it another try that I was like, okay, I will give it another try. And I did. In fact, it was Matt from Mux reached out and said, you need to try Render. So I gave it a try and it was fantastic. Easily the best hosting experience I've had. It's basically, you can think of like if Netlify and Heroku had a baby, because it has the simplicity and ease of Netlify, but it has the abilities of Heroku and it's way cheaper than a Heroku. They have a whole like us versus Heroku section of their site that will really get you moving on it. So I hosted the API, the client there. It generated the SSLs in 2 seconds. It worked absolutely flawlessly with our Cloudflare. No issues there. I gave a lot of hosts a run. I tried DigitalOcean. I tried so many of these new app platform hosting services. And let me tell you, render.com really blew me away with it.
Render does it does actual node hosting. Like it's, you get like a proper server,
yep.
But you can also scale it up. And it looks like they also do the CI part, like where you can do builds and whatnot.
Yeah. And it was really simple. In fact, you know, sometimes these things, they try to do a little too much for you. Like the DigitalOcean one really tried to do too much for you. And then when you start to do it, they'll be like, well, you got to get into a config file. Or even off the jump, you got to get into a config file. But with Render, it was more like Netlify, where when you sign up, you click on the box of your repo and then you click and it says, oh, what's your run script? And you can just type in there like Netlify. Oh, what's your build script? Type it in right there. And it just worked. It like worked first try and it worked perfectly. So none of the other ones I could say, I had to like start diving into docs about your custom, you know, config files. I'm not interested in your custom config files. I would like to just have a basic, here's what my start script is and just have it go. To me, like Heroku is always the gold standard for ease of hosting. And now I think Render has taken that just by how cheap and nice the whole experience was for me.
I tried myself the DigitalOcean app platform. It is really good, the app platform. It's just that I think I tried it like the day it came out and there was just like a bunch of like little things where I had to like almost immediately kick off to my own config file. But I got it up and running. It is pretty slick, but this Render looks really good as well.
I never got up and running on theirs. They had the issues with our repo. We have like a fun mono repo set up, which I'll talk a slight bit about. But we have this mono repo. I Googled like, how the heck do you do a nested folder build on DigitalOcean's thing? And the first thing that sent me to was like a support question that Wes had filled out himself and they had answered. So I was like, oh,
it was okay. Me.
Yeah, it was Wes. That was nice. And they had the answer. So it was just funny that we both had that same issue. One cool thing about this project is I built my own custom CLI for it that I'm calling Avalanche. And the Avalanche thing is kind of interesting. I'm considering how I want to turn this thing into some sort of an open source project. But it's kind of fun because instead of like a normal CLI where you have to remember flags and everything like that, I built this tool to like basically orchestrate all of the types of things I would like to run, whether it is code gen or I want to update all of the dependencies on the API and the client. I can do all that from here.
Oh, that's nice.
So I just do node avalanche to run a JavaScript file. And it gives me the option to develop, test, code gen, or update dependencies. Code gen runs our code gen. Obviously, testing will then give you other options, whether you want to run UI or API tests. And if you click develop, it gives you the option of starting up the UI, the API, or both. Because one thing that I really liked about Meteor was that you just ran Meteor start, and it started the server, it started the client, and it kept all of their logs in one spot. Granted, I know that that is not what some people like. But I like that about Meteor. In fact, Tom prefers to have them both separate. But I like to have it just on one little thing here. So I gave myself the ability to run either of them or both of them together as like develop both. So if you hit node avalanche, enter, it will just spin up the whole site in both things. So I thought that was really nice. Building a custom CLI was just a bit of a fun little experiment for me. But at the same time, if I'm going to have a mono repo with several smaller folders and several smaller projects, I want a way to run operations across all of those all at once rather than CD API, then NCU, and then CD UI, NCU. Just trying to save myself some time, you know? Another small thing is that we used Caddy server, which I never heard about, but apparently Wes had. It's a Go server, and this allowed us to quickly and easily generate signed SSL certificates for local development and have us up and running with like reverse proxies so that our local environment is leveluptutorials.dev, which I know is a real domain, a real TLD, but we have it in our host file and we have a reverse proxy. So that way all the difference between our local host and our production environment is just .dev or .com. And both of them are fully SSL'd so that there's no weird SSL things that could possibly come up in the production environment that we won't catch in development. So everything is trying to run pretty similar. And lastly, testing, we're doing Jest for all of our API testing and Cypress for all of our UI testing. I've ripped out all of my Jest testing on the front end. And it turns out when you're not using Babel, Jest has a ton of issues because like Jest will all of a sudden not be able to understand non-standard JavaScript. And then you're like, okay, I got to run a build on each one. I got to write my own custom thing here and there. And there is a Jest ES build plugin, but I didn't have great luck. We're using it on the server. But once you get into the land of like too many extra things, right? We got TSX, we got no Babel, we got providers up the wazoo, whatever. Our tests were so unreliable in the sense that it was the tooling around the tests that were causing tests to fail, not the tests themselves, not the code themselves. And I was like, I do not want to spend the time on this. And Cypress basically just runs your tests in a real browser. So if your site's working in a browser, that's how it's going to work in Cypress. And I didn't have to write any config to get it to do that. So it is fantastic. And it's going to save us so much time. I really like Cypress anyways. So for me, it's almost like I got to take a big deep breath. Like it's over. I don't have to write Jest configs. I don't have to write unit tests for my React components. I can just test them all as they're being used in the real browser, and it's going to be okay.
This Caddy server is really cool. I heard about it probably like 6 years ago on Leo Laporte's show, like Floss Weekly, like a long, long time ago. And I've been following the dev on Twitter for years. And I always thought about moving over my reverse proxy. A reverse proxy is like a web server that sits in front of your Node app. And it allows you to run multiple Node apps on a single like DigitalOcean droplet or something like that. It's pretty sweet, but I've never like done it in production, but didn't realize like it's also a great way to just quickly get a local SSL certificate running.
That's the biggest value that it's providing us.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's so simple. And you know what? I've written a lot of Nginx configs. I've written a lot of, you know,
it sucks.
Custom SSL stuff, and it sucks. You know, the config that we have, the Caddy config file, let me tell you, we have two domains here with wildcard SSLs, everything in local, whatever, reverse proxy. And our Caddy file is, oh man, it is 12 lines. But it's really, if you were to count how many lines have something on it, it is 5 lines of actual config. Okay, give me that.
That's awesome. You know what this should be integrated into is PM2, because PM2 will do the, like, you can have multiple node processes and it will restart them. And if they crash, it'll try. Like, I always wanted like that, but then also build in web server, reverse proxying, automatic SSL, because that's the other part that's hard about running it. And like those two things together, you could create such a slick little host all your node projects thing on. I think it'd be cool. I bet it wouldn't be that hard with Caddy.
Yeah. And I'm really looking at like what it will take to turn this thing that I'm calling Avalanche into an actual project that other people can use. And I have some neat ideas about it. So it's very likely that I'll be open sourcing this in some way, at least the shell of it. I find it to be immensely useful. And up and down the stack, the fast refreshes, we wrote our own account system. We're going to be doing an episode on that. So I would include accounts with it, connection to the database. You know, it ended up could be the, you know, Rails for Node thing that we always talk about is really kind of how I see this thing between the code gen and everything.
Can I write a plugin for it called Joe Sakic?
Oh, of course. Of course, you can. All of the plugins should be named after Colorado Avalanche because you may not know, they're going to be the best team in the league this year, Wes. And to jump on that bandwagon, I ordered an Avalanche hat the other day so I could pretend to be an Avalanche fan.
When I was a kid growing up in Canada, like I didn't care about hockey, but like everybody had jerseys. So like my team was the Avalanche and I had like a couple Avalanche jerseys. I think I had a Patrick Waugh jersey, which was pretty sweet.
That is pretty sweet. he had a whole thing with Detroit. We're not big fans of him in Detroit.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, you moved out. That's okay.
I did.
All right. Well, that sounds like a pretty sick new site. Thanks for sharing that.
If it's not up by the time you're listening to this, it will be at beta.leveluptutorials.com. But this episode's coming out like February 1st or something. I have every intention of getting this up and live by February 1st. So you'll be able to tell by if the site is server-side rendered, then it is the old site. If it is not server-side rendered, it is the new site.
Awesome. All right. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll catch you on Wednesday.
Peace.
Peace.
Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.